soul in mercy to reclaim, and from the depths of sin and shame, through grace he lifted me. From sinking sand he lifted me, with tender hand he lifted me. From shades of night to plains of light, oh praise his name, he lifted me. He called me long before I came, before my sinful heart was stirred. But when I took him at his word, forgive me, lifted me. From sinking sand he lifted me, with tender hand he lifted me. From shades of night to plains of light, oh praise his name, he lifted me. Now on a higher plane I dwell, and with my soul I know 'tis well. Yet how or why I cannot tell, he should have lifted me. From sinking sand he lifted me, with tender hand he lifted me. From shades of night to plains of light, oh praise his name, he lifted me.
Open your Bibles this morning to Matthew chapter 25. Matthew chapter 25. Now I want to conclude our stewardship conference this morning with a message on stewardship. And some might think, well, why this morning are you preaching on stewardship? We had preachers preaching all week. Sure did. Outstanding messages. Some of you weren't here to get it, so I do want you to have at least one shot at it before the week's over. So, Matthew chapter 25. Brother Isaac, would you raise your hand up over here? That's you, yeah. Your sister and brother-in-law are with you today. Where are they seated? Would you raise your hands, please? There we go. They just got here from Africa. They're brand new in America. Be sure and meet them and welcome them. And we're so glad that you're here today. Thank you for coming. God bless your heart. Stand with me out of love and respect for the Word of God. I'm not one of these preachers that's going to make fun of standing when we read the Bible. I love it. I respect it. I think out of honor for the Word of God, we're going to stand. And if somebody comes here and they've got to change their style of preaching, then they just change it. Okay? The Bible says in verse number 1, Matthew 25, "Then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened to 10 virgins, which took their lamps and went forth to meet the bridegroom. And 5 of them were wise, and 5 were foolish. They that were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them. But the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. And while the bridegroom tarried, they all slumbered and slept." And may I say to you, that's the condition of the average church and the average Christian in the church today slumbering and sleeping in reference to the things of God. And here's the warning. At midnight, there was a cry made, "Behold, the bridegroom cometh. Go ye out to meet him." Then all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said unto the wise, "Give us of your oil, for our lamps are gone out." But the wise answered, saying, "Not so, lest there be not enough for us and you, but go ye rather to them that sell and buy for yourselves." And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came. And they that were ready went in with him to the marriage, and the door was shut. Afterward came also the other virgins, saying, "Lord, Lord, open to us." And he answered and said, "Verily I say unto you, I know you not. Watch therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour wherein the Son of Man cometh. For the kingdom of heaven is as a man traveling in a far country, who called his own servants and delivered unto them his goods. And to one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1. To every man according to his several ability, his individual ability, and straightway he took his journey. Then he that had received the 5 talents went and traded with the same and made them other 5 talents. So now he has 10. And likewise, he that had received 2, he also gained other 2, so he has 4. But he that received 1 went and digged in the earth and hid his Lord's money. And after a long time, the Lord of those servants cometh and reckoneth with them. I want you to notice verse 19. That will be our text verse. After a long time, the Lord of those servants cometh and reckoneth with them. And so he that had received 5 talents came and brought other 5, saying, "Lord, thou deliverest unto me 5 talents. Behold, I have gained beside them 5 talents more." His Lord said unto him, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I'll make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord." And he also that received 2 talents came and said, "Lord, thou deliverest unto me 2 talents. Behold, I have gained 2 other talents beside them." And the Lord said unto him, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord." Let me stop there just a moment. We've learned 2 things immediately. Number one, we've learned that if we use what God has given us or entrusted to us to use for Him, He'll increase it. So we've learned that principle. They invested what God had given them. They used what God had given them, and it doubled. And then the second thing I notice is that God doesn't give everybody the same. But if we use what we've got faithfully, the accommodation, the reward that God gives us is the same. There was absolutely nothing different between what the Lord said to the one that had 5 talents and gained 5 more than what He said to the one had 2 and gained 2 more. The same accommodation was given to both. And then he which had received the 1 talent came and said, "Lord, I knew thee that thou art a hard man, reaping where thou hast not sown, and gathering where thou hast not strowed. And I was afraid, and went and hid the talent in the earth, and lo, there thou hast, that is thine." He said, "I've still got the one, here it is." The Lord answered and said unto him, "Thou wicked and slothful servant, thou knewest that I reap where I sowed not, and gather where I have not strown. Thou oughtest therefore to have put my money to the exchangers, and then at my coming I should have received mine own with usury. Take therefore the talent from him, and give it to him which hath 10 talents. So we've learned another principle. 2 more principles. Number one, God's not going to accept our excuses for doing nothing. Everybody can do something. He's not going to accept excuses for doing nothing. And secondly, if you don't use what you've been entrusted with, you'll lose it. He'll take it from you. For unto every one that hath shall be given, and he shall have abundance, but from him that hath not shall be taken away even that which he hath. Now we leave off reading there, and I want to go back and mention again, after a long time the Lord of those servants cometh and reckoneth with him. I want to talk to you today about our stewardship. Our stewardship. How we use what God has entrusted with us, whether it be our time, our life, our talents and ability, or our finances. It all is ours by the grace of God and entrusted to us to use first and foremost for His glory. The first fundamental rule of stewardship is this: the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. We don't own anything. What we have is on loan from God, and we're answerable to Him for how we use it. Not just the 10% of it, but all of it. All of it. Father, help me this morning as I bring this message, that you might use it to enlighten, to encourage, to help some here who have never really gotten into this matter of making you first in all things of our life. Help us to learn how to become faithful stewards. And Lord, this morning, I shall try to encourage people to examine their life to see where they are in relationship to God in the matter of stewardship. Lord, you tell us that is required of us that we be found faithful as stewards. And so, Lord, help us to be honest and know that you already know what we are and who we are and what kind of stewards we are. So help us, Heavenly Father, to see ourselves as you see us, and help us to do what's necessary to get ourselves right with you this morning in the area of our stewardship. And Lord, if there be someone here that's unsaved, would you save them this morning? In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. In the 29 verses that we've read this morning, we're introduced to the plain truth about stewardship. Whether you accept it or not, every person in the world is answerable to God for their life and that which God has entrusted to them, saved or unsaved. And let me stop right here and say in Matthew chapter 23, I believe it is, where the Lord is rebuking the Pharisees who were not saved. He rebukes them for doing certain things, and included in that was giving their tithes and offerings. And then he said, these things you ought to do. So evidently God expects unsaved people to be stewards too. He expects unsaved people to look at their time and realize there's a God in heaven, and what we have really comes from God. We didn't earn it, we didn't make it, we didn't create it, but we're answerable to God for how we use it. Now in Matthew chapter 24... the disciples asked the Lord about His coming again. And in that chapter, He outlines the events that are going to take place at His coming. Now, we don't know when that time is. Only the Father in heaven knows, but we are to be aware that He is coming again. And when He comes, He's going to call us in to a day of reckoning in the area of how we use our life. He warns us to make sure we get ready for His coming, and we live ready for His coming. And then in Matthew chapter 25, He gives illustrations of what it's going to be like when He comes back for that day of reckoning. Now this morning, I want us to look at these verses that we've read in relationship to stewardship. And I want to give you just four main thoughts quickly this morning. May I say, first and foremost, stewardship is accountability to God. Stewardship is accountability to God. And I want to say right up front, Every human being who has ever lived is accountable to God for our relationship to the cross of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ has come into the world and died for our sins. And we are accountable to God for our relationship to the cross. Whether we have accepted His payment for our sin and have received life everlasting or whether we have not. Whether we've been faithful to tell others about the cross. You say, well, how can we be accountable for our relationship to the cross when we don't know how? Because those that do know how to be saved are accountable to help you know how to be saved. We're to get the gospel out to others. Every one of us is accountable for our relationship to the cross of Jesus Christ. In John's Gospel, chapter 3, or John's Gospel, he gives three statements in his Gospel of John that says, Jesus says, ye must. Ye must. Not a suggestion, ye must. He said, first of all, ye must be born again. John chapter 3, verse 3. Ye must be born again. The second time he used that statement, ye must, he said it in John chapter 4 when he was talking to the Samaritan woman and said, you must worship me in spirit and in truth. In spirit and in truth. So we're accountable, first of all, to get saved. Secondly, we're accountable for faithful worship in spirit and in truth. Now, in spirit, it means in the right spirit. We're to come to church in the Holy Spirit. We're to listen to His leadership. We're to ask Him to fill us and open our ears and help us to learn and grow in the things of God. So we are accountable for being born again, trusting Christ as our Savior. Secondly, we're accountable for worship. Worship Him in spirit and in truth. And in that must, He says, not only in the right spirit, but according to truth. You say, well, how do I know what's truth? Jesus said, sanctify them in truth. My word's truth. So this is truth. We're to worship God according to this book. Not by our ideas or our opinions, but according to this book. And then he said, thirdly, the gospel must be preached to all the world. It must be preached to all the world. So we have a responsibility to the cross of Jesus Christ. We have a responsibility to make sure we've been to Calvary. To make sure we're blood washed. That we've been born again. We have a responsibility to the cross that makes it possible for sinners to be saved and have a relationship with God. And we can come to God's house and worship Him and have a relationship with Him. Then we have a responsibility in reference to the cross of making Christ known throughout the world, starting right here at home. So stewardship is first and foremost accountability. Accountability to God. Jesus asked the question, what is a man profited if he's gained the whole world and loses his own soul? Oh, my soul, you are accountable to God for your relationship to the cross. Now, I want my relationship to the cross to make sure I've been to Calvary, to make sure I'm saved, to make sure my sins are forgiven, that the suffering and bleeding and dying of Jesus on Calvary was for me. I've benefited from it. I've put myself at the foot of the cross and I've cried out to God for mercy and forgiveness and cleansing and His eternal salvation. Because there is no profit. If I gain the world without Jesus, I'm going to face God a pauper. I'm going to face God a beggar. I'm going to face God with nothing but hell to look forward to. So every one of us, first and foremost, is accountable to God in reference to our relationship to the cross. We're accountable to God for our life and how we're living it for Him. Now, I know that some of you listening to my voice don't tithe and give. If tithing and giving meant nothing else, it's a show of appreciation for what Christ has done for us. But I'm here to tell you it means a lot more than that. And some people tip God. They don't pay the bill, they just tip God when he comes, when the offering plates pass by. And our relationship to him is basically the same the way we live it. Live our life. We just, when it's convenient, give him a little. And then we feel like, man, we've really done something for him. Hey, we're accountable to God. We're accountable to God in reference to our relationship to Calvary. We're accountable to God for our life and the way we live it and how we use it for Him. You do know God didn't create you for you. The Bible says He created us for His glory. Man, if I knew what my life was to be here, I'd do it. Serve Him. Glorify Him. Live for Him. Live in such a way that God says, I am blessed by that life. My name's magnified by that life. I receive glory by that individual's life. Let me stop right here and say to you, whether you're saved or unsaved, you're going to have to give an account. We're accountable unto God for the life we're living. Well, the Bible says in the book of the Revelation that the books are going to be opened. God's keeping a record. In Revelation chapter 20, He gives us an insight into the record God's keeping of the unsaved life. You don't think that you can live your life without Christ and God doesn't know you? He's got the book on you. He's got a book that's got it all written down. And one of these days you'll be called by name before the great white throne where the thrice holy crucified risen Christ is seated, and you'll stand before Him and He'll open the books. And there are books in heaven that's got your name in it, but if you're not saved, the book that really counts don't have your name in it. The book of life. And in those books He has recorded everything you've ever done or thought. And you'll be judged out of those books. And then because your name's not found written in the book of life, you'll be cast into the lake of fire forever and ever and ever. That's the accountability. That's the day of accounting for the unsaved. The only way you can escape that great white throne judgment is to be saved. Because that's the judgment of the unsaved. Not one saved person will stand in judgment there. But the saved will stand in judgment. It's called by another name. It's not the great white throne judgment. It's the judgment seat of Christ. The judgment seat of Christ is when we'll stand and give an account to God for our stewardship. At the judgment seat of Christ, the question is not, are you saved? Only the blood-bought will stand there. Only the children of God will stand there. Only those whose names are written in the book of life will stand there. But we'll stand there and give an account of our relationship to the cross and our relationship to God and how our life and how we've lived it for Him or not for Him. Listen to what the Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. We must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that every one may receive the things done in the flesh according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad. Whew. I don't know how to explain that beyond what God's just said. Romans 14:12 says, so then every one of us shall give an account of himself to God. Stewardship is first and foremost accountability to God. May I say secondly, that stewardship is obeying God and His Word. Good stewardship is obeying God and His Word. Now, if you're not obeying God and His Word, it's not called good stewardship. It's unfaithful stewardship. Well, let me read here. He said, thou wicked and slothful servant. That's how God spoke to him. He didn't say, God bless your heart, I understand your excuses. He said, no, thou wicked and slothful servant. That's powerful. That makes me tremble as a child of God to think that I could stand before a holy, holy God with nail prints in his hand and his feet and thorn marks on his brow. Know that he did it for me, and I've been unfaithful to live my life for him. Think that he could look at me and say, thou slothful, wicked servant. God would have every one of us to live our life for him according to his word and according to his will. That's the reason good stewardship is obedience to God and his word. We'll say, if God would speak to me, I'd obey him. He has. And I say again, I've said it over and over again in the last few weeks, this Bible, the received word of God, the revealed word of God, is a more sure word of prophecy than a voice audible from heaven. If you're not going to obey God from this, you wouldn't obey him if a voice spoke from heaven. It's good stewardship is obeying God and his word. 1 Samuel chapter 15, behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, the Bible says. That's verse 22, and verse 23 says, rebellion, that's knowing the truth and not doing it, rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft. I'm simply saying good stewardship is obeying God and his word. John 14, 15, Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments. Good stewardship is obeying God and his word because we love him. Well, I have to fill out my tithe report. No, no, no. I get to because I love him. I want you to know something's wrong on your wife's birthday or your husband's birthday or anniversary day if you say, well, I got to go get her something. Something's wrong in your relationship if you've got to go get her flowers or a card. Oh, dear God, I get to get her something. I have the privilege of giving her something because I love her. I have the privilege of serving God and living for God and obeying God and giving to God because I love him. Kind of sounds better, doesn't it? Jesus thinks it does too, because he said in Luke 6, why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say? Let me give you just four quick thoughts here. Obedient stewards seek God's mind and word. You want to know God's mind? You want to know what he's thinking on a subject? It's recorded right here. We'll seek God's mind in his word. Obedient stewards work within God's timetable. Obedient stewards don't say, well, I'll do it when I get around to it. This wicked, unjust servant hadn't gotten around to it. He'd put it off and put it off, and the master came and he was called into accountability, called into that day of reckoning. Obedient servants or stewards seek God's mind and God's word. Obedient stewards work within God's timetable. Obedient Christians do exactly what the Lord says. Hey, we don't make it up as we go. God has revealed his will. And we do what God says. And obedient Christians obey God with a right spirit. I know some people that come to church, but they come to church hating every minute of it. God's got a record of your spirit in the matter. You know, when I corrected my children or told them to do something, they said, yeah, I'll do it. They did it, and then I said, did you do it? Yeah, I did it. Didn't like it, but I did it. Hey, they've lost their reward because they didn't have a right spirit. We serve God with the right spirit if we're faithful. Good stewardship requires commitment and faithfulness to God on our part. 78 times the Scripture speaks of faithfulness. And it plainly says in 1 Corinthians 4:2, moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. When we're judged by Christ, we'll be judged by the measuring rod of faithfulness as stewards. And our reward, or the loss of reward, will be determined by how we measure up to God's standards of faithfulness. Faithfulness must begin with a personal commitment to Christ to live by His standard of faithfulness, not ours. I'm amazed at people that come to church one Sunday in a month and say, yeah, I'm a faithful member there. No, you're not. What if God only showed up around you when you had a need? One month or one week out of four. You cried out to God 12 times, and He just heard you once. No, God's faithful. God's faithful, and He wants us to be. We need to readjust our thinking of what faithfulness is by comparing it to the attribute of faithfulness we see in Christ, because that's where it comes from. Faithfulness is being like Jesus. It's not being unfaithful and calling it by the word faithfulness. We'll stand before Him. I'm almost through. Hold on. Faithful and obedient stewardship is rewarded. We've read the testimony of these two that were faithful stewards, and God blessed them, and they were rewarded. They're going to enter into the joys of the Lord. And if you do further study, you're going to find God's going to give them positions of honor as they rule over cities during His millennial kingdom. They'll receive rewards in the form of crowns that they'll lay at His feet as a testimony of their love for the Master and the faithfulness of their life. Good stewardship is rewarded in this life. It's rewarded by God, not the preacher. By God. It's going to be awarded according to our response to the Lord's will for our life. Not by what we want to do, but what He would have us to do. It's going to be rewarded. We're going to be rewarded in accordance to how we're living and using what He has entrusted us now. Some of you are saying, one of these days, I'm going to. When I'm better off, I'm going to. Like the man with the one talent, he said, it's not much. I'll just dig a hole and hide it. You know, that man would have hid the 10 or the 5 if he'd been given them too. Because that was his character and his nature. And just as the two that were faithful were rewarded, the one that was unfaithful suffered the loss of reward and the rebuke of the Lord. When we stand before Him, we'll stand before Him to be judged according to our stewardship. Now listen to me. The worst steward is better off than the best unsaved person. Because the best the unsaved person's ever going to know is hell. He'll never know one day, one second, one minute of heaven. Not one. But oh my soul, we can have heaven and God's blessings also in this life. We can live for Him. We get to live for Him and one day stand before Him and hear Him say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. But before that entering into heaven day, there's a judgment seat. when they must face the record of their stewardship. Most everybody here is aware that in the last week, it's been on the news channels about how that someone went into the Acorn offices in several different states with a hidden camera and revealed Acorn members literally helping them to know how to violate the law of our land. And it was all caught on camera. By the way, they were fired, and they ought to have been fired. What if that had been you there? How would you have felt? The word record means, the word recording comes from the word record. Means to do it over again. And you do understand God's keeping a record of your life. And one day it's not going to be the employees of Acorn that's going to be on the screen. It's going to be me and you as we stand before God. Oh, I don't know if it's going to be a video or a screen or anything. I don't know how it's going to be, but God's keeping the record. And in that day, it's either going to be to our joy or to our shame. In that day, we're going to cover our faces and say, oh my God, I wish I'd done differently. I wish I'd listened to that preacher. I wish I'd not played the fool. We're going to say, hallelujah, I was faithful. I obeyed God and I'm not ashamed of what the record reveals. One last thought. God's keeping that record, not me. Not you. Not government. God's keeping that record. It'll be accurate. Nobody will touch it up or make it worse. I promise you, when God shows the record of our life and it's not a life of faithfulness, it won't have to be made worse. We'll be ashamed that we've lived our life, wasted our life, and now we stand before Him with nothing but a testimony of waste and worthlessness, and hear Him say, thou wicked and unjust servant. I don't want that. I want to hear the other. Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Enter thou into the joys of the Lord. Because you've been faithful over a few things, I'll make you ruler over many. Nobody can do it for me. Nobody can make my decisions for me. Nobody can live my life for me. Nobody could get saved for me. I had to decide to trust Christ individually, and I had to come to that place where I decided I was going to live my life for Christ and not self. So must you. So must you. Because there's coming a day when Jesus is coming back. And in that day, He's going to call us before Him for reckoning. That's the word the Bible uses, reckoning. It's going to be a day of hallelujah and blessing and joy. Or it's going to be a day of sorrow and shame and regret. The first thing I want Him to see on my record is that I've been to Calvary. I've been saved. And I want Him with all my heart to be able to say, well done, thou faithful, good and faithful servant. Father, that's our message. Oh dear God, on this last service of our stewardship week, started last Sunday night, ends this Sunday morning, help us, oh God, to look at our own heart. To take inventory now before we ever stand before You. While there's time to get some things right. To change some things. To make wrongs right. To make decisions that would put us in the place of honoring You. Instead of rebelling against You and wasting our life. Speak to our hearts. Lord, I thank You that most of the people here this morning can look back and remember when they went to Calvary. By faith, they accepted Jesus. Oh, they've never been to the Holy Land, probably, but they've been there by faith where they realized Jesus was dying for them. The best they knew how, they invited you to come into their heart and be their Savior, and you did. Thank you for that. But someone here today is not